Book of 1 Corinthians is a book that warns us of the dangers that occur when God's people are not in a spiritual mindset, have a wrong perspective on what genuine spirituality is, and are not identifying carnality, fleshliness. First several chapters deal with that head on. And we get to chapter 13 after a number of specific errors are dealt with. And here we have the important perspective of divine love, which is the very opposite of self and flesh. And it speaks right to many of the different issues that often are not clear in our mind because we are boggled down with typical self perspectives in our life. And it's a wonderful chapter, the love chapter that it's often called. And we've been looking at a number of the different characteristics of love. And we just finished a couple weeks of looking at the negatives. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, and so forth. Now we're going to look at four characteristics that are extremely vital. It's a beloved story of Amy Carmichael, who, as you know, devoted her life to rescuing girls who had been dedicated to a life of slavery and shame in the Indian Hindu temples. And she took some of her children to see a goldsmith refining gold in the ancient manner of the Orient. A man sat behind a small charcoal fire. On top of the coals laid a common red curved roof tile, and another tile over it was a lid. This was a homemade crucible. The man had a mixture of salt, turmeric, tamarind fruit and burnt brick dust, which he called his medicine for the purifying the gold. He dropped a lump of ore into the blistering mixture and let the fire eat it. After a while, the man lifted the gold out with a pair of tongs, let it cool, and studied it. Then he replaced the gold in the crucible and blew the fire hotter than it was before. This process went on and on. The fire grew hotter and hotter. The gold could not bear it so hot at first, he explained to the girls, but it can bear it now. What would have destroyed it now helps it. As the children watched the gold being purified in the fire, someone asked the man, "How do you know when the gold is purified?" The man's answer was, "When I can see my face in the liquid gold in the crucible, then it is pure." Our great goal, folks, is that whatever God has to do in our lives, we want the impurities of flesh and self to be burned out by the grace of God. And the passion of our heart needs to be that people can see the very life of Jesus Christ in us. And we're going to look at characteristics tonight that just speak of the heart and love of the Lord Jesus. And when these are part of our lives by the grace of God, it makes all the difference. And folks, let me say, the world needs to see Jesus. An author tells of meeting a young Indian student named Pashi who was enrolled in a college in America. And as she spoke with him about Christ, he replied devastatingly, "I would like to believe in Christ. We of India would like to believe in Christ, but we've never seen a Christian who is like Christ." Of course, not necessarily fair, but unfortunately all too true. And the problem is we do not let God deal with us and often do not allow the Spirit of God to probe in our hearts so that we can understand what is holding back the love of Christ, the beauty of Christ being seen in us. So we're going to look here this evening at four characteristics found in verse 7. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now, this is not speaking in general. This is speaking of our love for others. Keep that in mind. You have, of course, the negatives just prior to that, all about what hinders our relationship with others. And so here we find four very important imperatives. Love bears all things. The word to bear means to cover or to support with the idea of protecting. Love bears all things by protecting others from exposure, ridicule, or harm. In other words, genuine love doesn't gossip or listen to gossip. Even when a sin is certain, love tries to correct it with the least possible hurt and harm to the guilty person. Love never protects sin, it deals with sin, but is anxious to protect the sinner to reach them. Now, folks, this is opposite human nature. And so let's look at a couple of things here about love bearing all things. It protects others. Proverbs 10:12 says, "Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins." You know, there's something about man's depravity. I mentioned it in one of the other characteristics, but how we just, people like to read gossip. And they like to read negative stuff. They like to hear stuff about people. There's a pleasure. That's how magazines and newspapers that are exposés, that expose people, are. They make a living with them because people like to read them. And so love has no part in that. It doesn't expose or gloat or condemn. It bears. It does not bear. It B-E-A-R-S, it does not B-A-R-E. And so love, even when dealing with things in a person's life, maybe things that they are doing wrong or maybe things they have done wrong to you, the divine heart of Jesus is going to be to protect them for the sake of maximum future for their life. That's the heart of Jesus Christ. And it goes a step further. It carries the burden of others. In other words, as we come across folks in our lives that we are to especially have a part in, we need to have the same heart of Christ as we see the problems that they have. We need to let God give us His heart. Oh, we all love Isaiah 53. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." He bore our griefs. No one knew that better than Peter. Peter denied the Savior. Peter showed pride and self-sufficiency and counteracted the word of Christ as Christ was warning him. And yet, when Peter looked into Caiaphas's palace, into the judgment hall there, Jesus looked at him in the Luke account, and it so struck him, when I'm sure he saw the compassion of Christ, that he went out and wept bitterly. And he knew how patient and kind the Lord was. When you look at the last chapter of the Gospel of John, you have the Lord restoring Peter there. In 1 Peter 4:8, he states, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity, love, shall cover the multitude of sins." Peter thought for sure he was done. That's why he went a-fishing. Oh, he was thrilled about what Christ had done and the resurrection, and he was excited about what God was going to do, but he thought he was finished. But that's not how Christ works. He doesn't give up. Aren't you glad? One night, a 2-month-old baby kept his mother and father awake with fussing and crying. If you've had children, we've all been there. The father was at wit's end, I have been there, and lost all patience. The mother, though, in her deep maternal love, picked up her son and, cuddling him, said, "That's all right. I'm sorry you don't feel better." Total difference than a man. What an object in the kind of perspective we ought to have. How do we respond? What do we do? Especially if it has negative consequences for us. You see, love beareth all things. Love is protecting. Love is looking to meet the need. And that goes to the next one. All four of these go together. Number two, love believeth all things. This is something that I think is one of the key characteristics of Christ and a believer that's walking with the Lord. Not suspicious or cynical of others. Job 21:27, behold, I know your thoughts and the devices which ye wrongfully imagine against me. Folks, love gives the benefit of the doubt. Pratt says it well in his commentary. Perhaps this characteristic of love is best expressed in contemporary English idiom as love gives the benefit of the doubt. Suspicion and doubt toward others do not indicate affection or love. On the contrary, when someone loves with Christ-like love, he entrusts himself to the person he loves time and again. Let me stop here. We don't like to take that risk. You know, we can get pretty discerning about folks, but love believeth all things. And we are willing to put our neck on the line, endeavoring to be a vessel that God can use. Still, love does not demand that a person trust even when the basis for trust has been destroyed. Sometimes it's not a matter of trying to look at it the best way possible. The situation is obvious. It's blatant. Love does not give the benefit when there is no doubt. So that's the balance on it. In these circumstances, trust is folly. Yet, note this, the general practice of those who love is to trust the good intentions of others as much as possible. I started the service saying, we're going to be looking at how we'd like to be treated. Don't you want people to give you the benefit of the doubt? Don't you want people to believe the best or try to understand your heart? Or be able to help you as you're endeavoring to deal with the situation? You see, love opts for the most favorable perspective. And we don't like that often because we don't like to be duped. We don't like to be taken. We don't like to have things happen to us when we sense that things aren't right. But if we really love someone, we really do need to give the benefit of the doubt. If there is a doubt about a person's guilt or motivation, love will always opt for the most favorable possibility. If a loved one is accused of something wrong, love will consider him innocent until proven guilty. Now, folks, what I'm talking about here is really important. Now, we need to be very strong against sin. We need to be very discerning about what is wrong, and we cannot cover over that which ought to be dealt with. But in situations, especially in relationship situations, we need to give the benefit of the doubt and allow God to give discernment. And then the whole purpose is to meet the person's need, not to prove them wrong. And meeting their need will have to oftentimes be helping them with what is wrong. But there is that you give the suspicion and cynical attitude to the Lord. If he turns out to be guilty, you still will want to try to look at the heart, to understand the whole situation, the motivation, help them with what is wrong, but love believes all things. Folks, I'm telling you, if God's people would have that kind of heart, what a difference it would make. Marriages would be beautiful. Relationships could easily be worked out. It has trust and confidence in others because you're trusting God. Galatians 6:1, so important. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, that means you are spirit-empowered, you're humbly walking in the Spirit, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You see, our whole goal is restoration and solution, and we should be willing, if possible, if we are appropriate to be the one involved, to be able to restore. A preacher mentioned one day Let me just read it. My brother did something he shouldn't have, and I seized the opportunity to get him in trouble. Oh, I'm going to T-E-L-L. You know how that goes. When the father came home, he said, I was the first one at the door. Guess what I did? I proceeded to relate all the details. My father disciplined my brother, and I enjoyed knowing that my brother was suffering. I'm sure no one here has ever done that, but anyway. Now, I think that my younger brothers and sisters enjoyed it when the oldest one got it. But anyway, I won't go into that. I don't want to accuse them. I'm going against my message here. I'm not believing all things. However, I did see the look on their faces. Well, it's embarrassing when you're a teenager, you know, and they're still kids. But anyway, let's go back to the story. Soon after my father dealt with my brother, he called me to come to him. He proceeded to discipline me. I quickly questioned him and pleaded with him, but I didn't do anything. My father disagreed. Oh, yes, you did. What you told me could have been corrected before I showed up. But because you wanted to hurt your brother and wanted to see him in pain, because you didn't help him and want to see him delivered from pain, I'm going to make sure that you know what it feels like to be hurt too. He said, I never forgot that lesson. it's reminded me of the importance of being a restorer. That's what Galatians 1 says, that we need to restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. Love believeth all things, puts the best perspective, and has a desire to protect and work. And if you find out the situation has to be dealt with, your heart is not negative. It is filled with love. It is filled with the heart of the Lord. And you are surrendered to being a restorer. Do you see how this is Jesus? Let me just tell you, we need to be thankful he loves us. When you think about how he has to put up with our rejection of him. All right, first of all, love beareth all things, does everything to protect. It believeth all things. Thirdly, hopeth all things, hopes all things. Holds on to the grace of God for others. It's a tendency to give up. And this is where intercession collapses. This is where continued endeavor to reach people is lost. Continues to hope and pray. 12:23, Samuel said, Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Folks, the most important thing you can do when you see someone that is struggling, someone that is in your realm of responsibility, is to, number one, intercede. And to intercede by faith and not give up and not give up and not give up and not give up. We often give up because it's painful to pray for them. It brings back the problems. It brings back the disappointments. It brings back the hurts. It brings back maybe just the shock of hearing maybe what they did. Morris says, always hopes is the forward look. This is not an unreasoning optimism which fails to take account of reality. It is rather a refusal to take failure as final. It is the confidence that looks to ultimate triumph by the grace of God. My friends, God is able. He is not giving up on anyone. And he has to have an intercessor. He has to have a vessel that he can use. That's his plan. That's his economy in this day and age in which we live. And so we need to have the same heart of the Lord that that does not give up. When our belief in somebody we care about is their goodness or repentance is shattered, we still hope. When we seem to almost run out of faith, it holds on to hope. As long as God's grace is operative, human failure is never final. Jesus didn't let Peter's sin be final. Paul did not want to take the Corinthians' carnality as final. You know, if anybody would want to give up on people, the stuff they said about him, you get to 2 Corinthians, it's awful. I mean, he suffered abuse. He had given his life. He had spent months and months in Corinth. And yet all of these different issues had come up and he had been attacked, but he would not give up. That's his whole point. He was endeavoring to reach them, and by God's grace, he did. I mean, the church did go on, and it's an amazing thing. When you have the love of God, it energizes hope. It keeps you going. Now, I know many of you have people that you love that you're tempted to give up on, aren't you? A little weary, a little hard to pray. You've had things said, or you've had disappointments. Your heart has been broken. Love, love, love hopeth all things. Keep on the ground of faith. Keep with that confidence. Get back to the mercy seat of God. Ask God to work. And by the way, it will help you in your relationship with them. And you yourself can be quite an important tool if you do pray for them. Hold on to hope until you're gone for a lifetime. Romans 15:13, now the God of hope, I love that, the God of confident expectation, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope. That's all divine. That's all a miracle. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. One commentator said, I heard the story of a dog who stayed at the airport of a large city for over 5 years waiting for his master to return. Employees and others fed the dog and took care of him, but he would not leave the spot where he last saw his master. He would not give up hope that someday they would be reunited. If a dog's love for his master can produce that kind of hope, how much longer should our love, divinely inspired, make hope last? Folks, aren't you glad Christ does not give up on us? Seriously, I want you to meditate on that. Don't give up on people. Don't give up on people. Keep praying. Sometimes a knife will go through your heart when you pray. Keep praying. Ask God to give you strength. And I'm telling you, God answers prayer. I've seen miracle after miracle, folks that frankly, humanly, I'd given up hope for, but God just, according to this, had to keep on praying, I will not drop someone, and then God does something. Man, when God steps in, it is glorious. You say, but you don't know my situation. Well, friend, you don't know my God. You do know my God, but you know what I'm saying. And he is able. And I'm afraid. You see, when that happens, our attitudes change, and we ourselves step into unbelief. Well, finally, as you can see, all of this goes together, endureth all things, holds fast to those who are loved. Ironside says, and so love endureth all things. It is willing to suffer, for that is just the character of love. Sometimes in praying for and loving someone, It can be difficult. And some of you are in situations like that, but the Bible says love endures how many things? All things. Folks, there's never room to be bitter. There's never room to blame. There is never room to get upset. There is never room to hold back the right kind of heart towards someone. No, love, empowered by the Lord, endureth all things, holds on during hardship. The word to endure is a military term used of an army's holding a vital position at all costs. Every hardship and every suffering was to be endured in order to hold fast. I've used this in parenting messages. John and Charles Wesley had a very patient mother. At one time, her husband said, "I marvel at your patience. You've told the child the same thing 20 times. Susanna Wesley looked fondly at the child. She said, "Had I spoken the matter only 19 times, I should have lost all my labor." And how we need to just keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. Enduring all things. By the way, that's parenting. Just normal parenting. Now, there is enduring. I mean, you know, let's face it. Are your kids perfect all the time? Are they a bit of an irritation at times? Are they a problem at times? Yeah, absolutely. Do they scare you at times? But see, love endures all things. You stay right at it. It stays put even when it costs. In fact, is that not real love? Putting someone else before yourself. And it holds fast in the face of overwhelming odds. Can't get away from the example of Stephen, the deacon there, who became quite the witness and preacher and loved his people. And he preached that strong message in Acts chapter 7. And it so riled them up as the Spirit of God was outpoured upon them that they stoned him. And Stephen was so walking with God, even in his last moments, he had the heart of Christ. Acts 7:60, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. His heart was still for those when he was truly enduring suffering for what he was going through. And as his stand for the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Friends, let's just think for a moment. How many times a day do you disappoint Jesus? Think of how we don't listen. Think of how we are stubborn and go our own way. Think of the things that we do to hurt those that he loves. And yet, Jesus beareth all things. He believes all things. In other words, he sees what could happen, and he's going to be working things through for our good. He hopes all things. He knows what he can do. And he'll endure whatever to see us through. That's the heart of Jesus. Friends, it's so often the opposite of who we are. It is not the kind of heart that we have. And so it's very important. That's why, folks, James chapter 3 that deals with the tongue is very strong. Just read it here in our Bible reading, and it's strong. I mean, it is strong. And the reason it is strong, it's the opposite of Christ. To talk, to gossip, to not try to protect, to not lift someone up, not be there to restore, to have any kind of, like the Corinthians here, any kind of division in spirit is so different than the heart of Christ. And how important it is that we edify. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace," God's power, "to the hearer." We should always be grace givers, along with the theme that we've had tonight, in our communication and in our love. Somebody has loved you. Somebody has prayed for you, right? How about everybody here? Have you ever had somebody that loves the Lord that was a little disappointed in you? Somebody stuck with you, right? Somebody cared about you when you sort of fell apart. God obviously did, but somebody else did. I'm telling you, people see Jesus in the life of someone who has this kind of love. That's what a church is all about. Restoration. Seeing people through. Showing forth Jesus. The love of God is powerful. It is attractive. It draws people to the cross. And so that one verse with those short little phrases, I think it just gets right down to where we are. And folks, that's why having your prayer life every day is not about just getting your time in. It is about keeping up all of these things, bringing before the Lord, asking God for grace in your own life, praying and believing God, and even when it seems so impossible, saying, Lord, I believe you can do it. And I'm telling you, when you go through the time of intercession and you truly have this kind of heart, you come out of that even more changed into the image of Christ. Intercession is absolutely necessary for victory, but it's the only way we can truly have love. Now, I'm preaching this seriously as I have these other sections because this is Paul getting to the heart of the wrong view of spirituality and endeavoring to get the people there to be like him.